podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Lookout, a mobile security company trusted by over 40 million customers. Lookout specializes in stopping new cyber threats, finding lost or stolen phones, and backing up data. Protect your Android device now by visiting lookout.com/AAA for the free download. Welcome to All About Android, episode 121, recorded on August 6th, 2013. Your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Ron Richards.
Now I'm Gina Trapani.
And joining us this week, you might recognize him from such shows as Tech News Today and Know How, the one, the only, Ayaz Akhtar. How you doing, Ayaz?
I don't know if I'm the one and only. I think there's like five of us out there.
Really?
Yeah.
There are five of you?
They're just not in the States.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's at least one more of me.
It's going to be a tense show this week, I think, because there's some bad blood here.
There definitely is. As you are my vocal doppelganger,
exactly.
I kept messing with his Moto X by going, okay, Google Now, and it kept believing me. That's not true.
The havoc we're going to give for the audio listeners, so we're clear, I'm Ron.
I'm Ayaz.
And you'll be able to tell the two of us apart.
No problem.
No problem at all.
And I'm also going to do my Gina impression at some point.
Yeah, you'll be able to tell when I'm speaking. I don't think there's going to be
See, good impression, right?
See, that was good. It was very good. Good job. So.
All right.
All right. Well, this week, as Ayaz is replacing Jason, as Jason is out, we're going to be talking the Moto X, the big news with Moto X, big things coming from some other handset manufacturers, Microsoft Office, and HP is back with some new hardware. Who knew? So that said, let's dive right into the news.
Well, the big story this week, the Moto X finally unveiled. I think it was last Thursday that the Motorola held their big event and announced the new phone. And, you know, there's not too much that we didn't already know. This is one of the most leaked phones ever. And first, wait, before I start, do you guys have one of the Moto X's in studio? Because I know Leo's been talking about it most of the week.
Okay. I've gotten to play with the Moto X for a little bit. Leo has it, and he let me, the first day he got it, he gave it to me in my hand, and I'm like, this is pretty darn cool.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's a pretty nice phone. You know, I could run through the specs, but you know, it's interesting. You know, the specs. It seems like Motorola has been saying this whole time that the specs seem or may sound mediocre, or that it's gotten dinged kind of for the specs not being spectacular. But Motorola has said, you know, they really just concentrated on the whole user experience. So it's super customizable. It's got a couple of cool Motorola tweaks to the software, things that we knew were coming. You know, you twist your hand and the camera starts, fast burst mode, customizable backs. There's a little advertising, a little marketing campaign snafu in the very beginning, a little sexism in some of their marketing messages, which they fixed very quickly, like within the hour, they pulled some of that. But the reviews have been very good. Leo loves it, right? Is that, he's big Moto X fan.
From what I've seen, yeah, he definitely enjoys the camera, but the camera's actually the issue. That's why that was in my head. He enjoys the phone a lot, but the camera seems to be hit or miss at this point. It does really quick photos, but some of them are awesome, and some of them are like super flary, and they're really overprocessed, unfortunately. So maybe that could be fixed in a software tweak or a different app. But in general, getting that camera to go is super fast, and I really enjoy that kind of thing. I've got fast-moving dogs and a fast-moving kid, so I'm like, this is really cool. And spec-wise, it seems to move as fast as anything I've seen. Not a lot of bloatware on there.
Which is great considering the, you know, coming off of the last major phone release with the Samsung, which, you know, was pretty much defined by its bloatware at this point.
Yeah, absolutely.
As well as its sexist marketing presentation. So it's glad to see Motorola is following in Samsung's footsteps here.
Yeah, I mean, from what everyone's saying, that the Motorola X8 processor, which is kind of a new thing. I heard Leo saying that, you know, comparing that to other kinds of processors, you really can't make the comparison because it is a new thing. It's always listening to your voice. You can say, "Okay, Google Now," and it responds. When you turn the phone up, if you have the phone face down and you pick it up, the notifications kind of breathe in and out. You can glance over your phone and get notifications, which that sounds really nice from the software side. It's going to be $199, and I believe it's going to be available this fall. Is that?
It's going to be in the next couple of weeks. At the end of the month in August, it'll be available. And I think all the color options come out much later. AT&T getting all the first awesome color options. Everywhere else, you get black or white. You can't do accent rings or anything. But one of the things about that OK Google Now thing, I saw it on Leo's device. both Josh Windisch and Jason Howell were able to fool it.
Oh, really?
With their voices, which don't sound the same. Apparently, when you do the training, it's actually listening to not just your voice, but the cadence in which you're saying it. I wasn't able to do it. But I'm like, okay, wow, it turns out that while Ron and I are very equal in voice, apparently Jason Howell and Leo Laporte sound exactly the same to the Moto X.
Fascinating. We should get our hands on one and do it and see if we can fool it with each other. We probably could, but
yeah, you two could. I'd be surprised if it knew the difference between you two. But it'd be fun to try.
What I think is interesting is just how much of those different kind of interface aspects they added to this. Because you know, a lot of times, you know, and Gina, we talk about this a lot as the new handsets come out. How are they going to innovate? Are they going to innovate on the software level, on the hardware level, or as we're seeing on the interface aspect level? And you know, we've seen with Samsung with their kind of swipe to do a screenshot and all those hand gestures. But it seems like Moto X takes it one step further with their various different kind of interactions. With this new phone. It's kind of neat. I also wonder how hard is it going to be for somebody to get used to it, because it's a different, it's not a different paradigm, but it's an evolved paradigm. I haven't played with it yet though. So,
well, the big thing I noticed in the hand, 4.7 inch screen, and Leo compared it to his HTC One, same size screen. Yep. The Moto X just felt way smaller. It's that lack of bezel on the side. It felt really comfortable, unlike any Galaxy S anything I've ever tried, which apparently wants to fly from my hand if I had it in my hand. The Moto X is really comfortable. So maybe, and all these comparisons to the iPhone, because the iPhones, you get one model, and the specs might matter in one respect, but what it really matters is that experience. Yep. And that's what it looks like Motorola is trying to do, is 24-hour battery life, to me, I think, is the big one. At least that's the claim. If you get half of that, that's still pretty awesome, even if it's always listening.
Right. And I think the point that you make about the bezel and the experience kind of reminds me of the new Nexus 7, like we talked about, which is, you know, we're comparing your Nexus 7, which is brand new, to my old one, and it already, the width of that bezel and already, like, making it as small and not compact, but as, you know, using the space, effective space that you can actually interact with, makes a huge difference in looking at a device. When it feels kind of clunky, when you've got that extra frame around it, it feels different. And it's, you know, kind of interesting to see Motorola embrace that similarly to the way they have Google has with the Nexus line of handsets. As far as the availability, you're talking about how AT&T and Sprint will have it, but Verizon and T-Mobile, it will be compatible, but they've pretty much not talked about it at all. In fact, T-Mobile said that while the Moto X is compatible with T-Mobile's network, we have no further announcements at this time. Which,
so they're probably not going to carry it in their stores then.
Right. Yeah.
I had read that Motorola, to get the T-Mobile version, you have to get it from Motorola directly. T-Mobile won't have it in stores. I don't know why they would do that, apart from the...
Well, they've done it in the past. I mean, my Nexus 4, I bought from Google directly, you know, and I just put my T-Mobile SIM card in.
Yeah, but Google isn't selling this. Motorola is selling it. That's the weird part.
But isn't Motorola Google?
Not the Play Store.
Points, run.
I thought there is going to be a Google Play edition of Moto X available eventually. A Google edition. I believe that there is an unlocked.
I wouldn't be surprised if there is. I mean, especially given the fact that we're seeing that trend with the Samsung, with the HTC One. I mean, if they don't do a Google Google, kind of Play edition. That's
Google Play edition.
A clean edition in that way. Then the whole Google Motorola thing is just baffling. More baffling than it already is.
Yep, it's in the works.
Yeah,
already.
Yeah, it is in the works. The Verge reported.
So,
I'm kind of excited. I would like to see the software bits. I really like the notification breathing in and out when you turn the phone up. I really like that. I'd like to try out the always listening, the camera enhancements. Although I'm sad to hear that some of the photos don't look so great. I think the camera enhancements were really good. I don't know how much I'm going to want to flip my wrist to get the camera going. I mean, I've sort of gotten in a groove of swiping over. I've got the camera widget on my home screen, my lock screen. So I kind of swipe over to get the camera, but it'd be nice to just pick up the phone and take a photo like that. I'm not so much into the backplate customization. Not such a big deal. It sounds like it feels good in the hand. Battery life would be a big deal for me.
Yeah, I feel like the backplate addition and the color changes, that's how you get the mall crowd into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the customization, the as I like to call them, the normals, the average user who's less worried about what processor is running it and more like, ooh, can I get it in blue? That's clear. Clear that they're thinking in that way. In a similar way that Samsung did, by offering three different colors, by offering the white, the black, and the blue, they're kind of catering to that kind of side of things. So here's the big question, though, Gina. I mean, you just got an HTC One. Are you regretting the HTC One decision? Would you prefer to have held out for the Moto X? Or are you happy with your HTC One?
I'm happy with my HTC One. I'm not as filled with regret as I feared that I would be. I like the HTC One a lot. The Moto X looks cool. I would like to try it. I think I'm actually going to buy one for one of my developers, just kind of as a gift. And when I do, I think that it would be a little difficult not to add just another one to my cart on checkout. But no, for the most part, I really liked the HTC One. And I didn't feel like the Moto X was, you know, such a, you know... such a huge, you know, cool improvement that I was heartbroken about the HTC One. But, you know, heartbreak's just a part of being an Android lover.
there's our show title, Android. Heartbreak's part of being an Android lover.
It kind of is. But no, I'm okay with the HTC One for now.
Yeah.
I haven't held a Moto X yet, so I don't know. But for the most part, I'm good with my decision.
Yeah. So what about you? You're the only one out of three of us who got to hold on to it. Would you use it as your phone? Do you think that it's one?
HTC One is the one that's got the best build so far. But the fact that it's got that, well, the camera is kind of iffy to me.
Yeah.
And then also all the bloatware. But then again, HTC kind of makes it easy to get rid of that stuff if you want to go through that effort. But Moto X is so clean, and it's on every carrier. And I do like the customization aspect, although the fact that it's not on T-Mobile right away kind of drives me nuts. That's my carrier of choice because it's so darn cheap.
Yeah.
But I think my next phone is going to be a Moto X because my last phone is broken.
I don't know. I mean, I'm still on the Nexus 4. I have no complaints about it. Although I have noticed ever since I downloaded 4.3 that the camera on the Nexus 4 has gotten way worse. I need to like sit down and look at it to see like the quality of photos I've been taking. I've experienced a noticeable difference after 4.3 installed on the Nexus 4.
Like a placebo effect. You saw 4.3, like, ah, it might be. Brain hurts, can't take photo. Maybe, I don't know.
But I was having this conversation the other night with a friend of mine where if I needed a new phone, would I go with a Nexus 4 again or go with HTC One or go with Moto X? And, you know, I don't know. I mean, like, Moto X is nice, but I do like that HTC One body. I feel like that bezel. And when you can get that clean version, that Google Play version that doesn't have all the HTC crap on it, that's real tempting, you know. But I haven't played with a Moto X yet. I'm known to, once I get my hands on something, immediately change my opinion. see Google Glass.
YYZ in the chat room asked if I got 4.3 on my HTC One, and I have not yet. I have not. I've only gotten my Nexus 7. Yep. So I'm waiting patiently for 4.3 to hit my Google Play Edition HTC One still.
Yeah, my 4.3 came in at the worst, not the worst time, but I was like literally getting in a cab to go out on Wednesday night. It's like software update. I was like, yes. I was like, why did I hit yes?
No.
I was like, I should have waited until I got home.
No.
So I'm like sitting there playing pinball, like looking at my phone, trying to see if it's going to finish. It was not good. It was a rough night for me. But anyway, cool. So Moto X is out, so we can finally put all the speculation behind us and now start looking forward to seeing the Moto X in the wild as we see it crop up as it becomes available later this month. So interesting stuff. So the Moto X does come out right in a good time for developers who are putting apps in the Google Play App Store, as a recent report from the App Annie Index revealed that the Google Play Store has exceeded the Apple App Store for quarterly app downloads for the first time ever. And what's interesting here is that it's not by like inches, it's kind of by miles. The Google Play Store managed to surpass the Apple App Store by 10% in Q2 of 2013. So basically, that's a lot of downloads on the Google Play side as opposed to iOS. What do we chalk this up to? Is it just that there are more apps are becoming more evolved and there are a better deal in the Google Play Store? Or is it just that there are more Android users now? What do you guys think?
It's definitely, I think, it's stagnation on iOS. When it comes to iOS 7, sitting around, developers aren't revving their apps. So everyone who's got an app is like, I'm not updating anything right now until iOS 7. So in this particular case, there are a ton of Android users out there. And there is getting parity to the level of, here are some really cool apps on Android or only on Android. That's a nice shift in what's been going on. But if these apps are exactly the same, let's say the catalogs are the same, the ones that are getting updated are probably on Android right now.
Yep.
But the things on iOS 7 or 6 are just, they're just waiting for iOS 7. I'm really curious what's going to happen once 7 shows up.
So do you think there'll be a Apple will surge back?
Maybe be even.
Yeah. Gina, what do you think?
Yeah, that's a good point. We are sort of in the calm before the iOS storm. I think that this has to do with the number of Android devices. I mean, there's a lot more new Android devices. There's a lot more Android device kind of churn. You have the Nexus 7. You have different tablets and handsets. I think part of it is that. So I assume that if I have, you know, three Android devices and I download the app, like I get counted three times, right? Because that's three app downloads to all three devices. You can make the same argument for iPhones and iPads. Yeah, this is interesting. I mean, this bodes really well for Android developers, but you know, I don't know how much it matters that downloads exceeded at the app store, the iOS app store, so much if revenue did not.
That was right? that was the next point I was going to make was that it's great to tout the number of downloads, but if you look at the revenue and then the revenue chart from App Annie, iOS still generated 2.3 times the amount of revenue that Google Play generated.
Yeah, I mean, what we're saying here basically is that Google, you know, spent a lot more money on bandwidth to push down app downloads, right? That's basically what we're saying. So, and you know, the Apple fans, you know, this story in the Apple on the Apple News tech sites, we're saying, you know, look at, you know, we're laughing at the revenue numbers in Android compared to iOS. So, I don't know. I wouldn't say. I think that it does matter because I think that we want to see more Android users downloading more apps because I think you have a lot of really low end Android phones where where folks don't download apps or just never or they're just not as savvy users. They're not going to the Play Store. So I think that's good. It bodes well for Android, but at the same time, you know, for developers to get really excited, especially you want to see those revenue numbers go up. And I think that Google's bet is the more downloads, you know, the revenue will follow, right? Like as soon as users get used to the idea of downloading, installing apps, that they'll become more willing to pay for really good apps. They'll start developing, you know, taste in apps. They want to buy the pro versions of their apps when they, you know, have trials that they really like. So I think it's a good thing, but got to get those revenue numbers up as well.
Yeah, I think it speaks to the maturity of, and I don't mean by immaturity versus maturity, but just the age of the iOS App Store in terms of the, you know, in-app purchases and building up this expectation of paying for apps where iOS has had a couple of years over Android, whereas Android is still in the everything needs to be free and I prefer things to be free versus paid.
I wonder how much of this has to do with the fact that you can easily refund purchases on Google Play.
Yeah. Because
I know I've bought some really, really crappy iOS apps. And when I'm done with them, I bought them. There's nothing I can do about that.
Interesting.
I've had some Google Play stuff where I get to try it out and go, okay, this is kind of wonky. I'll decide whether to keep it or not. You get that little window. But I wonder if that would have made a difference. Like, if there's no refund button, is Google Play making a lot more money or not?
Is it are the refunds accounting for 2.3 times
not
the
at all,
revenue?
No.
Yeah.
No. Maybe like 0.001%.
Because it's funny because I've never used the refund function.
You have not tried a lot of crappy apps, apparently.
I have not, yeah. Very selective.
I've never used the refund function either, but I make an Android app, and it has good ratings. I mean, my average rating is 4.5. I get tons of returns.
Really?
I mean, I get a really good clip of returns. I get an email every time somebody user returns the app, and it always surprises me how many users return the app. I mean, and it's sad, makes me sad because, of course, I want to reach out and be like, what happened? What went wrong?
I was going to say, do you take it personally? Like, do you go, hey, why don't you like my ads?
It hurts a little. I really wish that I could get a message from the user, like, you know, for just to know why. But I think there are a lot of folks out there that just like try out paid apps, and if it doesn't blow them away within the first 30 seconds or the first 15 minutes, they return it. I think a lot more users do that than. And I think the Play Store now, especially with the web install, it lets you know, like, hey, you've got 15 minutes to return this. Mm-hmm. So I think more people take advantage of it than you think, although I've never returned an app. In my whole Android life.
My returns usually come from those Crashtastic apps, the ones that, like, you try to load it and, like, oh, that didn't work. Try to load it, didn't work. Try to load it, doesn't work. Restart my Nexus 7, and it doesn't work. Okay, now you're going back. If you're not going to work, that's my problem. I kind of bought the app to use the app. When you can't use it, that's usually my line when it comes to it.
That makes sense.
That's fair.
That's a good line. It's a fair line.
All right. Well, so speaking of all this Android and Google Play stuff, we're starting to get a little sneak peek of what's to come, right, Gina?
Yeah, a little bit. We have the first Key Lime Pie builds are apparently popping up. A user in the Chromium Bug Tracker, and that's of course the open source browser technology behind Chrome. A user there recently reported running a test on a variety of mobile devices, and of course those tests include the device and the version of Android that it's running. And among them was a Nexus 7 and a Nexus 4 listed having the KRS36B build of Android, and the only letter in that whole string of characters that matters is the first one, which is K, which would stand for Key Lime Pie. All the earlier Android builds start with J for Jelly Bean and D for Donut and E for Eclair, et cetera, et cetera. So there are users with Key Lime Pie build. I mean, this is definitely an internal, I would guess, an internal Googler testing things out on an early Key Lime Pie build. But it's kind of nice to see it out there. And I don't know. We don't know anything else about it. No features, nothing. Just this bug report in Chromium.
It's going to start creeping a little. We're going to get a little more bits and pieces as we get closer and closer to it. So it's interesting to see that everybody's kind of on, you know, waiting with bated breath, waiting to jump on anything that indicates like Key Lime Pie to see what
there's
the new things
are. Thank goodness. Yeah. I mean, we've been stuck at Jelly Bean for two dang long. It's like, oh, you have is a point release? Point release? Where's the Key Lime Pie? People love pie.
They
That's
do.
The thing. Yeah. It's people it are demanding.
Pie.
Yep.
It's true. Yeah. Next up, we're going to have, browser referrer logs showing Key Lime Pie in them, I'm sure.
Yeah. Just a matter of time.
Yeah. Just a matter of time. So we've got an email this week talking about an analogy we made in last week's show. This email's from Brian in Atlanta, Georgia. Brian writes, a closer chalkboard analogy for SSDs. So we were talking about SSDs as a chalkboard and the trim technology we were talking about last episode. Brian writes, a closer chalkboard analogy for SSDs is a chalkboard that you have to erase completely in order to write to it. Naturally, if there's something already there, you might want to maintain it. So you have to remember somehow what was there before you erase and then redraw it along with what you're adding or changing. That all happens in the SSD drive controller. What trim does is allow the OS, which knows what the file system looks like, to tell the drive controller, which doesn't, that a block of data on the SSD, which can be rather large, upwards of 512K in some cases, is no longer needed. So the SSD controller doesn't need to read the block before it can erase and write to it. That's where you get the performance increase with trim. So a little clarification on the chalkboard analogy. That's from Brian in Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you very much, Brian, for explaining trim. Of course, my like very simplistic view was like, it's like defragging.
Well, yeah, and he was
but it's just like smarter writes.
Yeah, he was building off of my super simple chalkboard and analogy mm-hmm. of how memory was explained to me when I was in elementary school by my dad. But so
you had to erase the chalkboard before you can write to it again.
Exactly. That was exactly how RAM was explained to me. It was the chalkboard, and so it was nice to see it.
Sketch kind of.
Well, no, like the idea, like you're on a chalkboard, you erase it, then you can write mm-hmm. over it. You've got a limited space on the chalkboard, and, you know, so.
That's an Etch-A-Sketch, because your reset would be a shake, and you're like, oh, no.
Yeah.
There's no save on my Etch-A-Sketch.
But anyway, so,
yeah, I didn't share this last week, but my RAM analogy was always the kitchen table. So like if you're a cook, like the idea of swapping data out in and out of memory. So if you're a chef and you're cooking a meal and you've got a kitchen table with just enough space to put things on, so you take stuff out of the refrigerator, like your ingredients, like the meat and the veggies and all the other stuff. But you only have so much space in the kitchen table to work. And if you don't have enough space to put more ingredients, you have to take some ingredients and put them back in the refrigerator. So the refrigerator would be the hard drive and the kitchen table would be the RAM. So there you go. Listen,
that's,
whatever helps you.
Making me hungry.
That's a really, it's a really good one, and it's making us hungry. Food analogies are always good in computing. I like that.
And key lime pies. Yeah. When is key lime pie coming to the table?
When is there going to be room on the table for key lime pie? That's what I want to know. We have to refrigerate the jelly beans or something.
Well, while we're waiting for our key lime pie to be delivered, let's thank our sponsor of this episode. We want to thank Lookout for sponsoring this episode of All About Android. And if you care about your Android phone or tablet and the information on it, Lookout's protection is a must. They have the world's largest mobile threat data set and use it to tackle all kinds of mobile security issues, from identifying new threats to finding lost phones and fighting cybercrime. Lookout for Android provides automatic protection for malware, adware, and spyware, the best Find My Phone solution in the market, including LockCam. Protect your phone or tablet from prying eyes. Get an email with the picture and location of anyone who incorrectly enters the passcode on your device 3 times. Signal Flare. You can't locate your phone if the battery is dead. With Signal Flare, a feature which emails you the location of your phone when battery is very low, you'll have a much better idea of where your dead phone could be. And Contact Backup and Restore. Lookout Premium for Android features all of the above and more for just $2.99 a month or $29.99 a year. And with that, you get all the stuff we mentioned before, as well as safe browsing, where you can surf the mobile web safely knowing that every site you visit, including links from emails, texts, and even Facebook, is safe. Bolstered Find My Phone protection with remote lock and in case you're worried your phone has fallen into the wrong hands. Privacy Advisor. See and manage all the apps that access personal information such as your location, contacts, SMS, and MMS data. Lookout also offers free security solutions for iOS and the Amazon Kindle Fire. Lookout worries about security so you don't have to. So visit lookout.com/AAA to learn more and get the free download. That's lookout.com/AAA, and we thank Lookout for their support of All About Android and for protecting our devices. All right. So even though we talked about the Moto X, let's dive into hardware.
We're diving in quietly.
We're tiptoeing into hardware this week.
Well, yeah, of course, the Moto X was the big hardware story, but we had to push that up into the lead. What else is going on in hardware? Samsung is hosting a new Unpacked event in Berlin, Germany on September 4th, just a little short of a month from now, before the annual IFA show begins in the city. And Android Central reports that, you know, we're most likely going to be seeing the Galaxy Note 3 at this device. There will also be Samsung will be hosting an experience, quote unquote, in New York at the same time that same day. Or sorry, maybe not the same time because of time zones, but in New York that same day. Galaxy Note 3, and hopefully not another Broadway experience that we saw on the Unpacked 1 event. This is the Unpacked 2 event.
Well, it depends on your angle. It's either you hope that we don't have another repeat of that experience, or you could be like me and hope to God that it happens again because it was so wonderful.
It all unfold again, yes.
How many weeks did we milk that for entertainment? Okay, it was like at least a month's worth of jokes.
Well, that was the quarter where Samsung spent more in marketing than R&D for like the first time ever, and I think that showed it. And if that's where they're throwing their money, instead of having me wave my hand over my Note or my S4, I don't know where they should be putting the money. Maybe it should be on that purported smartwatch they're working on, the Gear, whatever it is. Maybe not the Broadway shows. Maybe, you know what, a press release. Just go, here are the specs, you go buy the thing, and we don't have to do a big freaking show.
There you go, the minimalist route, less is more.
No, why not?
Yeah, why not? I don't know. We'll see.
Just have a lot of typos in there, and they won't believe it's real.
Like, is it real? I don't know. I want more spectacle. I want more glamour.
I want a spec list. Yeah. You want a spectacle?
You want a spec list, I want a spectacle.
In other news from Samsung, maybe something else worth laughing at, but probably not something we're going to see at the Unpacked event. There were some photos leaked of the Galaxy Folder. This is a flip phone. A flip phone that runs Android 4.2.2, sports two 3.7-inch AMOLED touchscreen displays with 800 by 480 resolution front and back, Snapdragon 400 dual-core processor, 2 GB RAM, 4G LTE connectivity. This phone is probably, according to rumors, not going to get past Korean borders in terms of global availability, but still kind of amazing that somebody's making a flip phone, that Samsung is still making a flip phone. And I kind of like the name is Folder. It's kind of cute.
I have to say that if they released this in the United States, I would predict that this would be a ridiculous success.
Because everything else they release in the United States, they'll be like, nah, the Note won't work.
No, that'll work. No. Not saying anything about Samsung's previous releases, but I feel like there's an inherent desire to flip things in our society, and I think it all goes back to Star Trek and the communicators.
Okay, interesting.
And we've moved away from that with our smartphones, and I actually thought about this the other night because I was on the bus coming back from the Upper Haight, and there was a dude who had flip phone. And I was like, I haven't seen one of those in years. And he was really happy to be there doing his T9 thing. And imagine if he had the power of Android in one of these. I know, and we've seen these before, but I think if they brought it over here, it would do better than we expected, like the Note. We all laughed at the Note. We thought the Note was going to be a joke.
But seeing the form factor, I do like that anything but that candy bar form factor. Everything looks the same at this point. Can't tell the difference between one phone or the next. Motorola trying to do everything different by adding little colors and everything. HTC trying to do different materials. But an actual folding phone, I don't know if it's necessarily opening a device, but when you're angry, you want to hang up.
Yep.
You know, just pushing is not the same.
It doesn't. No,
when you're just like, there you go. I'm done with you. That satisfaction has been just, we're gone.
We've been
it's
denied
gone now.
That. Yeah. Denied that for years now.
I want to be able to hang a phone up.
Right. I'm right there with you, man. I think we need some sort
Bring
of closure, some sort of, you know, and Samsung kind of has it with the Galaxy, the cover.
Oh, right. You can do that.
But that's not the same.
Singularly closure cover.
Yeah.
What they need to do is they need to implement the Star Trek, the communicator sound when you flip it open.
Yep.
It's got, if it has that, I'd be... yeah. willing to try it. But you know what? I can't mash on those buttons, those T9 buttons. That's not
happening. Oh, the T9. Yeah, no, T9, I would probably jump off the Bay Bridge if I had to use T9 again. Like, I remember when T9, like, I was started texting right at the end of T9. Like, I moved to an HTC phone with a keyboard very quickly because T9, I have huge thumbs and I just couldn't do it. And I saw teenage girls doing it, and it's just, like, really fast, and I was bad. So
I already have enough time to switching between devices. I keep using swipe. I would end up using swipe on my T9. Like, this isn't working.
Well, so Samsung isn't the only one who's starting to get in the teasing game or in the pre-announcement mode. Looks like HTC is getting into the game, but with a unique approach. They recently posted two videos to Vine and to Instagram, and then they did post a longer version of the video to YouTube, teasing something and playing off of the HTC in their name by saying, "Here's the change," and "Happy telephone company." There's some speculation as to whether the man getting off the helicopter is Robert Downey Jr. or not.
Looks like him.
It's very Robert Downey Jr.-esque, very Tony Stark.
The way he walks.
So who knows what's going to be coming. They're promoting it with something big is coming in the hashtag HTC change, and using the C and HTC for change. So we're going to keep an eye out, see what HTC might has coming. It could be a big deal with Robert Downey Jr. Maybe he's the new spokesperson, or maybe it's the rumored HTC One Max. So.
Yeah, it turns into a suit of armor, does it?
Yeah,
Max.
Yeah,
I remember seeing this story pop up that Downey Jr. had signed with HTC for like a couple of million bucks. I just found the story, $12 million. So is this a chance it was him used for that, the back of him? I don't know if that's enough to get people to go, you know what, if Iron Man's using it, I'm going to use it. But because TCL was in Iron Man 3, and I didn't see people running at the doors to go, I'm going to get myself a TCL TV now. I don't know if he can do it.
Robert Downey Jr., everybody loves him. You know, the Tony Stark magic has really worked wonders for him.
It's true. Somebody gave me the water bottle from Iron Man. I didn't even like recognize it, but a friend of mine was like, "Here, this is." I was like, "Oh, this is a cool water bottle." He's like, "This was in Iron Man. Tony Stark was drinking out of this in Iron Man." I was like, "Oh,
was it the actual water bottle that Robert Downey Jr. was drinking out of?"
No, it was the brand. It was the fancy brand.
Oh, all right. Well, because it would be much different if it was the water bottle from Iron Man. I mean, you know,
I don't know, Robert Downey Jr. does a good thing for brands. I had no idea. Yeah. Now I've got the water bottle.
So there we go.
So watch out.
And we got one more little, I do love to, oh, nice, there we go.
that's it.
That's it, there we go, there's the water bottle. Is that the one with the glass and it's a nice water bottle, I've seen that.
It is quite a nice water bottle.
Yeah. So I love it when there's an HP story.
HP, they launched an Android-powered PC. They're calling it the PC. It's a Slatebook. It's got a great name. It's really catchy. Slatebook 10-H010NR X2. That's right. It's one of their transforming tablets. $480. It gets you the keyboard dock, and it comes with the tablet itself. 10-inch display, 1920 by 1200. It's got some good pixel density there. Tegra 4 quad-core processor in there. 16-gigabyte SSD in there. 2 gigabytes of RAM. And my favorite thing is back when this thing was on HP site for the first day, it actually said NVIDIA Tegra 4 with Intel integrated graphics. They have since fixed that because they're so used to running Intel. They're like, oh, must be the thing. So they took it out. Now it is. There's no Intel in this NVIDIA is what I'm trying to tell you. But they are claiming it's a PC. You know, HP is that they're the old guard. They're saying this is a PC because... See, we put the two letters there, and every report says PCs are dying, tablets are taking over. Does this go around that?
This just cracks me up. Because first off, look at that first image of the screen where it's the Slatebook to the 10th power X2. Like, is it an equation? Do you have to solve this to use it? Or like, but calling it a PC, I'm surprised. I mean, the Android tablet convertible pseudo laptop kind of approach. I feel like we haven't seen much of that this year. We saw a lot of it last year with the Asus Transformer and with all those kind of those types of products. But after CES, I haven't seen any other ones that made me kind of look at it, take it a second glance. But people know HP. People who work in offices, like accountants and lawyers, know HP. They'll walk into Best Buy, they'll see HP, and it's a PC, and they're going to buy it. What are they going to know?
They're going to be confused, is what's going to happen. They're like, "Where's the other window? How do I use this thing?" The price is really cheap, but like I think $650, you get a Windows laptop as well. So if you wanted a Windows laptop from HP, it's $650, and they have the same branding. You know, X2 is their hotness when it comes to this. I don't really think it's a PC.
Is it a marketing bait and switch by calling it a PC? Or is it just evolving the Android platform? Like, could Android?
This
be?
Is very deep.
Yeah,
we have to ask Gina.
Yeah,
it's really deep.
This is very deep. Is it?
I call it link bait. It's link bait.
Chad's calling it link bait.
Chad.
Wow.
This is cash bait.
Chad's angry.
Yeah, no, it's like HP's like, it's going to be hard to sell an Android tablet. If we call it a PC, every grandma's going to know what that is. So they'll buy it.
Oh, to have been a fly on the wall in that meeting.
Yeah.
When they're like, listen, we've got this Android tablet. What are we going to call it?
Well, let's look, PC. Wait, they got the 10-H010NR. So clearly, you know, it's not a normal PC, right?
Clearly.
Oh, my gosh.
See, this is why I enjoy when HP gets in the rundown. It's always amusing.
Well, if it was like a Transformer, or they called it something else. Like when ASUS made theirs, and everyone was like, oh, it's really cool. And this actually spec-wise isn't so bad. Yep. It's good display in there. But HP, not exactly known for its beautiful design or anything.
No.
So it's not like, oh, I'm going to run out to the streets, going to get an HP. It's Slatebook.
I feel like Slatebook is a great name. Just call it a Slatebook. I get that. It's like a slate. It's like a book. It's a Slatebook. It works. It, you know, like it speaks to towards, you know, like productivity and, you know, like, you know.
It's camel case, so it must be good.
Yeah.
Maybe the PC stands for something else. They need like a reverse acronym. It's not personal computer anymore. It's like
professional computing.
Professional clamshell.
There you go.
That's what it is. Yeah. So,
professional clamshell. It's just
closed. So. Anyway, so thank you, HP, for allowing us to amuse ourselves. But in the meantime, we got a voicemail building on the trim debate.
Hey, guys. This is Alex. I've got a question mostly for Gina, since she's the developer. So I work at a Verizon store, and I have Android myself. And you guys have heard, after about a year of owning your Android phone, you hear all of your friends say, you know, it's been a year, my phone is just so slow. The Nexus 7, the old one, of course, got really, really slow and bogged down. And with the new release of Android 4.3 and FS trim support, it's breathing new life into the Nexus 7 and, of course, every phone that will eventually get the update. My question is, how come Google didn't include FS trim in earlier Android operating system versions that would have hopefully eliminated the lag that most users would have had after a while? How come FS trim is just now coming to Android? Why wasn't it sooner? Enjoy the show. I love listening to you guys on my way to work.
All right. So why haven't we gotten it sooner, Gina? You're a developer.
I'm a developer. It's a really good question. I'm not sure because I don't work at Google, but I have a couple of guesses. One, it wasn't ready, and they needed to get the Nexus 7 to market really quickly. Two, they knew that this was not going to be a problem for a while, for you know, a few months of heavy usage, and that they could get this out in a software update. It sucks that it's coming out in a software update that requires the carriers to push down a new version of Android versus something like Google Play Services, which they could push out whatever time they could, but I'm sure that was the thinking at the time. Like, this may be an issue, but we need to ship these units. You know, you work at the Verizon store. You know how it is. Let's ship these units now and fix this problem later, which is what they're doing now by getting it out there. I can only assume that, you know, it just wasn't ready, or they weren't sure what the extent, you know, what the extent of the problem was going to be until they started to see it themselves after these units were in people's hands for a long time. But I agree. It kind of sucks that it took them so long. Also, it's a really good reason to feel like maybe you need a new tablet or you need a new device because the one that you had slowed down a little bit, which also is kind of a stinky way to deal with your consumers. But, you know how that goes.
Well,
what do you guys think?
I think the key thing is that these devices and these operating systems and these software, they're never done.
Right.
They're never done. They're never perfect. They're never like, this is the perfect phone with the perfect operating system and now it's shipping. Like, it's a constantly evolving thing. And you're going to see updates and changes. I mean, it's the nature of the beast. And it just happens to be, this was FS Trim's time. You know?
Yeah, the other thing is, like we're saying, is a lot more slowdown in changing your devices. It used to be every couple of years, maybe every year you try to change your device, but these devices are getting so good at this point, there's very little reason to change them. Oh, the S4 came out, it's not really that much better than the S3, or the One is out, it might not be much better than the One X or whatever preceded it. But if these things are being used in the hands of all these people year in, year out, now this actually becomes a priority, because otherwise it would be, you just switch it. Like, who cares? It's just this little nothing device. Now that these phones and tablets are becoming, and they're replacing laptops, and they're replacing your PC, right? They're replacing them, or you rename it to a PC. If that's happening, then you do definitely need to make sure that that system runs as smoothly as possible, because finally, you're using these devices for a longer term, because otherwise, these tablets and things used to be like a joke. It's like, I use that, but I can't do any real work on it. But now you're using it day in, day out. Should be able to run fine.
And also the nature of the beast is that people figure stuff out. And I can't imagine that you know, Google or Apple or any, you know, operating system maker would have some sort of process that would make a device work better and then sit on it. Like the key is to make it, you know, to make the devices work as good as they can be, so that you love it and then want more and tell your friends to go buy more and that sort of thing. So, and as I
no, no conspiracy,
no conspiracy, no.
I mean,
no
conspiracies, you know, the cynical way is that, you know, planned obsolescence does sort of happen, but at the same time, you know, Google doesn't want current Nexus 7 owners telling potential new Nexus 7 owners, for example, you know, don't get this tablet because after 9 months it just runs like a dog. You know what I mean? They had to get this update out because they don't want people to stop loving the devices. So I mean, you know, a lot of this, and even I see this as a developer, it's like, you know, I can do all the testing that I can across multiple simulators and multiple devices, but you know, problems happen when it's out in users' hands that I didn't anticipate. And I'm sure that in some, you know, to some degree, that when these devices shipped or when that version of Android shipped, that Google got tons of reports and feedback back from, you know, real world usage that gave them the data they needed in order to iterate and come up with things like trim. So
yeah, and that's
it is a constantly evolving thing.
And that's a great point too, because, you know, a product can work great in the lab or in, you know, in the Googleplex or wherever it might be, but then, you know, put it in the hands of thousands of people, you know, and then see how, you know. And I think that the idea that it can be updated via software allows for that idea of this rapid improvement and dedication to making it the best that it can be. I don't think it's a necessarily bad thing, you know. So
yeah, and it's hard to anticipate a problem like, you know, what does the device perform like after 12 months of daily usage?
Yep.
You know, that's a tough thing to reproduce in a testing lab.
Yep, absolutely. All right, cool. Well, thank you for calling in with that question, Alex. We appreciate it. Now we're going to talk about some apps. Chad hits a home run with the apps. So over on the Android official blog last week, or earlier this week, actually, or was it last week? I don't remember. It was last week. They announced.
It happened, though, right?
It happened. That's the key thing.
That's this week.
Yeah. It's been a long week.
It's only Tuesday.
I know. Whatever Jason's.
So that'd be yesterday.
So that would be.
No, August 2nd.
August 2nd. So it's last week. The Android official blog announced that a bit of functionality that's been available on the Android platform is now going to be available officially through Android in the ability to find your lost phone with Android Device Manager. Applications like Lookout, which is our fine sponsor, as well as some other great applications out there, have been able to do this for a while. But now Android is taking that functionality and going to be able to allow you to locate and ring your misplaced device. So whether it's between your couch cushions or you left it in a restaurant or in a cab or whatnot, you'll be able to go out on the web and locate your device, find out exactly where it is, and also be able to wipe it remotely, which is a way to protect your data and protect your information, which is interesting because – and it was funny because I was telling Gina before the show, I had a – you know, again, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, Apple versus Android and things like that. I had a buddy of mine on Twitter last week see this news – and posted like, oh, Android gets another bit of functionality that we've had for years, and posted. And I was like, well, Android's had it for years too. It just hasn't been official. Like, it hasn't been a part of the OS, whereas there have been apps that can do this as long back as I, you know, as far back, going back to my G1, I can remember that.
You got some trolley friends, huh?
I do have some trolley friends, apparently. Yeah. Because they're comic book nerds. But think about it. Yeah. Okay.
Fair enough. But I guess you could have written that every single time anything happened to iOS 7. You're like, oh, you're finally getting this.
Exactly.
Oh, you have a notification trade, yeah.
you need to ask them about their keyboard. Yeah. Do they really love their keyboard? Oh, yeah. I'm glad you can change that.
But yeah, this is now official. And the other thing is, like, I think it's support Android 2.2 or higher. That, to me, is actually a much bigger deal than anything.
Yeah.
Because if Google was like, 4.2 and higher, and that's like a tiny sliver. You're talking about pretty much every Android phone out there that's sitting around, even if you have those little bargain basement ones. And that, to me, is way more important than, you're finally getting this. It's like, no, this is cool. Especially when it'll bypass your silent mode, as you were saying. Even if it's on silent, your phone's going to ring. And you can wipe it. Because when I lost my phone, I was like, do I have this feature on? No, I don't. I probably was a business user, but now it's available for everybody.
Yep.
Oh. Yeah, it's really nice. And I'm glad this is built into the OS versus a third-party app. I don't want to trust a third-party app with, you know, keep tracking my phone's location and doing remote wipes and things like that. Yeah. I like that it's going to be built into Android. Great that it's coming out in 2.2. I don't know if this is going to be hooked into Google Play services, and this is not available yet, right? This is coming soon. They're saying stay tuned.
Oh, yeah, it's rolling out this month.
It's rolling out later on.
It's rolling out this month, yeah. So it's not available just yet. I was like, where is the button? I was ready to turn it on, but it's not there yet. But I bet that this is hooked into Google Play services. Another nice way that Google is bypassing the fragmentation issue and getting this out to more phones rather than just 4.3 or 4.2.
Absolutely, and I do have to say that if you're going to trust a third party app, Lookout is the way to go. So keep that in mind as well. So
Indeed. Well,
it's funny because actually, in all honesty, Lookout was the first app that I ever knew that did that. Mm-hmm. I mean, back when I was at Rev3 and I was doing App Judgment, and I was reviewing apps for Android on my G1. Lookout was the first one where I'm like, oh wow, look at this great bit of functionality where you can find this lost phone and you can track it down, you can lock it down, and all that sort of thing. And it's funny that you mentioned that, Gina, about having it be a third party app versus being native in the OS, because when it's a third party app, you do the thing where it's like, oh yeah, I should install that. I'll do that later. And then you lose your phone, and then you don't have it anymore. So now at least it's that added level of protection on the base of the operating system. But third-party applications like Lookout and other ones out there can add to it and provide protection in other ways. And but the base and going back to Android 2.2 is great for Google. I mean, that's a rare bit of backwards compatibility that I don't think we've seen that much. That
like
often.
Microsoft that far back. Jeez.
Yeah, that's Froyo. That's Froyo, folks. That's not Gingerbread. That's Froyo.
Yep. Yeah. Well, speaking of Microsoft.
Yeah, Microsoft actually brought Office to Android.
Finally.
Sort of.
Finally. The thing I've been dreaming of.
It's just like what the iOS people have. So you can have another check mark. You can control your friends, write that up.
Yep.
You still need a subscription to view or edit documents. There's no like free version. You're not going to be able to do stuff. Oh, it requires Android 4.0 or higher. Mm-hmm. And by the way, it doesn't work on tablets. Not only does it not work on tablets, you can't even install it. If you go to the Play Store.
Because we tried.
It's grayed out on my Nexus 7. It'll go to my S3 just fine. Because for some reason, this would not scale to a display. That would be a 7-inch display because all the resolutions on the phones are so different. I don't really understand that. Microsoft says, get this, you can use the web app version if you have a tablet instead. That would be fine, which actually will allow you to do a lot more things for free. You don't even need to have a subscription to use the web apps. So Microsoft being a software company, that's a crazy idea. It's like they're putting out apps for iOS.
There you go. I love the idea that I wouldn't want to review a spreadsheet on a tablet. Because if you ever try to edit a spreadsheet on a phone, because that's just a joyous.
Wait a second now. Google, with its own properties, they can't even get Google Drive right on their own freaking platform.
Oh, I know.
Maybe Microsoft's like, well, Google can't do it. We're not going to do it.
We're not going to bother.
Forget that. I mean, Drive is a beast and horribly bad on. It's actually worse on Android than it is on iOS. I don't even know how that's possible.
Really? Is it?
Yes, it is.
Not bad.
Oh,
I have to admit, the only time I really go into Drive on my phone is to look at the rundown for the show and for Twig. Just get kind of look. But I have to tell you, I do more on my phone in those spreadsheets than I ever thought that I would.
Okay.
I tried to sit here at the rundown and do a show off my Nexus 7. And I got my little Bluetooth keyboard, and it was the most challenging thing I've ever been involved in, and that's not hyperbole.
That's fair. But if I find a link, I can drop it into the dock, on my phone fairly easily. Yeah. I would say. I don't know. I hear you. Look, editing a spreadsheet on your phone just is insane. Just in general is kind of insane. So I don't know. I guess maybe I'm just being very generous.
That's the thing. You'd be able with Microsoft Office. You'd be able to do that on your phone, but not your tablet. Again,
true.
So even if you had a crammed space, or this, I just can't get my head around this. The same amount of pixels, all right? If you have a 1920 by 1200 display on a phone, that's okay. If you dare put it on a 7-inch tablet, you can't install it.
Do you think it's because of Surface? Do you think that because Surface is a tablet, they don't want to compete with their own tablets? Like, do you think that's
they have a phone, right?
Yeah.
They have a phone operating system.
Yeah, but they actually have a horse in that race.
I don't know what they're thinking.
That would be like Amazon saying that the Kindle app is only available for phones, not tablets.
Right, but it's Microsoft we're talking about. Think about it.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Maybe once
I hear you.
Once they finish their massive reorg, which just started a couple of months ago, maybe they'll be like, yeah, we can do that too. We can do the tablets. Just let them install the crappy version. What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
Like, what's wrong with blowing it up anyway? I don't know.
It's baffling. I love it.
Microsoft. and HP. I got both. I got both old dogs on this show. Thank you.
Well, so Gina, Netflix.
Netflix, from good news and bad news from Netflix. The good news that Netflix announces family member profiles. This is sub profiles, like sub accounts within a particular account with its own recommendations and history and streaming queue, personalized recommendations. You can set up profiles with different combinations of people or different moods. That's the good news. The bad news is this isn't going to come to Android right now. It will be to Android soon. The first up to get Netflix profiles are the website, iPad, iPhone, PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, Apple TV, and some smart TVs and Blu-ray players.
So
Android is coming sometime this fall.
So everyone but Android is getting this.
So everyone but Android is getting family member profiles.
Which is funny Netflix is driving me nuts on the Google TV because every time I open it up, it says, "What experience do you want? Regular Netflix or kids?" I don't have kids, and like,
they're asking you a serious question each time. Right. What if tap that inner child, Ron? Don't you want to watch Justice League today? I will watch Justice League anyway. That has nothing to do.
But you can still. I'm a
Marvel guy. Forgot.
I'm a Marvel guy. Yeah, but you, an Image guy. But if you,
of course, yes,
hitting home runs left and right this week. No, but I find it amazing that they haven't had some sort of settings where you can be like, yes, I have kids, give me the kids experience, or no, I have kids, I just want the regular experience. And if these family member profiles, if I can set up my own profile, my sad, lonely family.
Right. That's a new title from Image Comics, Lonely Family, coming soon.
Kids prompt is very weird because it comes up for us a lot, but not every time. So I keep thinking like this must be a user preference that's getting deleted for some reason. Because I mean, that just seems like that would be a sticky preference. Like I would like the adult experience. I would like the kids experience. That should be a one-time choice. It's not, but it's not an every-time choice either. So I feel like, and this also happens on my Google TV, the Logitech review, which basically the Chromecast.
That means
this is
a good thing that Android's not getting it right away because it's annoying.
Well, Android has it already as the choose your experience, regular. But what they're not getting is the family profiles, which we're assuming would replace that.
The one or two. Yeah, now right now I have like old ones. It was back when I had DVDs. It had that old profile of like you and the HD one you had. And this is like... I don't have any ways to remove this as far as I know.
I found that too. Yeah, no, I had, when I first got Netflix, I had a partner and now I don't. And yet there's still that.
It's like, hey, you remember this mistake you made? Let's put it in your face every time you want to watch a movie.
Let's get reminded what movie she likes.
We would like an option to take that off, is what we're saying.
Yeah, Netflix really is pro-family. That's what I'm getting out of this. And they're not really cool with not being in a family. But whatever. I think family member profiles will be a good addition if they ever get around to it.
This fall, if we can hang in for a couple of months.
This fall. I just like how they're like, it's available on all these platforms except
Android. Yeah. Try not to screw up any more relationships between now and then and you'll be good.
I'll do my best.
Wow. Challenge. Challenge made. Challenge accepted?
Yeah, challenge accepted.
All right.
Well, speaking of screwing up relationships, Yahoo is back on the acquisition trail. And you might have heard that they acquired Rockmelt, which is a social web browser that was available on Android. And then they immediately shut it down. So in a very Google-esque transition, they purchased the browser and then said, "Yeah, no, we're gonna shut it down." The purchase was between $60 and $70 million, according to All Things D. And Rockmelt had previously raised more than $40 million. And basically, a lot of people were speculating whether this was a acquisition to get their talent or their technology. And they've Yahoo clarified that while it was both a talent grab, it was also because Rockmelt had built a variety of media related mobile technologies that could be useful to Yahoo. And Rockmelt was that browser that I always saw it. When it came out, I'm like, oh, interesting. I never installed it, and then I've just never played with it, and it just was the thing out there that I never played with at all.
It was like the new Flock.
It was like the new Flock, yeah.
That's not saying much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
So,
yeah, I've read a lot about this. I still don't get really what Rockmelt was or is, but now that you say the new Flock, I'm like, oh, yeah. Yep. Social things in the browser.
I was reading when Meyer took over Yahoo that there was approximately like a dozen mobile developers left at Yahoo because under Carol Bartz, this wasn't the future for Yahoo. They were trying to do other things. So all these mobile developers ended up leaving. And so what she looks like she's doing is she's buying these smaller companies. Rockmelt hasn't been tremendously successful. I think they've killed their own desktop browser a while ago and all kinds of services that have been switched off. So if anything, she gets a bunch of really talented app developers. Yahoo did have that Access browser for like a really like this little blip of a moment that Meyer then killed. So I'm just kind of curious how they're going to work this together because now they have a browser maker or something like that, a social browser maker. They have news. They have so many different pieces that they could make either their own operating system, which has been like this theory from an emailer from TNT, which I think is a brilliant idea. But if they did a Yahoo version of Android, I think that'd be hilarious.
It would be great.
Because it'd be like, hey, you know the thing I built, like I was a part of before? You know, I'm going to use it now. A part of as in very, very loosely.
So in their statement about the acquisition, Yahoo actually wrote on their blog, they said, the parallels between Yahoo and Rockmelt are obvious. Clearly. We share a common goal to help people discover the best personalized content from around the web. We can't wait to integrate the Rockmelt technology into our platform as we work to deliver the best experiences for our users in new and exciting ways. So that's a little marketing speak by saying, hey, look, they're doing some cool stuff. We need cool stuff. And so let's see if they do cool stuff for us. So very interesting. So Rockmelt, now the curious thing is that you can always gauge one of these acquisitions and shutdowns by the fan response and everybody freaking out over Rockmelt being shut down. And I haven't heard a peep about it. I don't know about you.
Crickets.
Guys. Yeah, crickets. So
yeah, it was like the Google Reader outrage, but about 1/100th.
Right. No. Speaking of which, I was, you know, this the other day I was running. I was like, oh, I wonder when Google Reader's shutting down because I can't wait to see everybody freak out. And it came and went.
It was
July 7th or something, like, wasn't it? Like Google Reader Apocalypse. Like I didn't catch it. Maybe I was caught up in Comic-Con mode, but I didn't catch anybody freaking out
over it. That's because they have the nice warning. Like when you show up, it says, thank you for stopping by. Google Reader's been discontinued. And it doesn't actually, I don't think it has any links to other things, but I know, actually it does have links to alternatives. So in case of freak out, you can just click that. I know for myself, all my bookmarks, because I still use bookmarks, I replace every Google Reader bookmark with Feedly.
Really?
So even when it would load up in that folder, I'm like, oh yeah, that looks the same. Yeah. It's fine. Everything's okay. So, substitute's there.
Oh, well. I like a good apocalypse. Anyway. So, all right. So, on to another email. Every now and then, the great thing about the All About Android community, much like probably the TNT community, is that they're right there on our heels, ready to correct us when we're wrong. And last week, you might remember, we were talking about Amazon streaming video and Amazon Prime, and I was complaining about the lack of an app on Amazon for Google TV. And Dan writes in to let us know, make sure and tell Ron that there's an app for his Google TV for Amazon streaming service. So sometimes I make statements and I just don't know the truth behind it. So
when did that happen?
I don't know.
Why didn't I cover this on TNT? What is this?
I know. There is a Google TV Amazon Instant Video app.
So it's not on Android.
It's not.
I mean, technically it is on Android. But it's not.
Yeah, it's on Google TV.
It's Google TV.
How do
it's
I sign
TV?
That?
So this is not compatible with my Logitech review, which I guess isn't saying much because not much is compatible with the review anymore. But yeah, I also got a few emails and tweets about saying that the Amazon app was just a link to the website, and that's actually not true for all models of Google TV, but for my model, it is.
So
for the review,
yeah. So I mean, I literally watched a movie on Friday night where I watched it through the web browser and used their player, and it works fine. I have no problem with it. But can you guess what I'm doing as soon as I get home? I'm going to go install this app.
Couldn't you just send it from the page now?
Oh, I actually could.
Send it to your device.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Thing, I want to sideload this onto my Nexus because I don't think there's any. Send an email if this is true.
You can't.
Is there an Amazon Instant Video for Android outside of the Kindle Fire experience?
I don't think there is.
And now there is, though, for Android. This is
but it's for Google TV, though. It's
but
a different.
That's APK. Give me the APK.
True, yeah. Let's
get a developer, an APK. Somebody get a developer, an APK.
I just clicked install and I get the sad no.
How great is this?
Devices.
It is not compatible for my device.
Womp.
It is not.
So you're still
have
right.
No eligible devices.
No
right?
eligible devices for this app install. And it says on my Sony Internet TV box, this item is not compatible with your device. So what device is it compatible for? Emailer Dan. You led me down this path. What is it? But clearly people are using it because there are 52 reviews.
This app is only available for select Google TV devices. Earlier Google TV devices like Logitech Review and Sony Beyond TVs and Blu-ray players are not compatible with this new application, but are compatible with the Amazon Instant Video service via our website. So load up the website, Ron.
What the heck? That's not cool.
It's an Amazon tease.
I mean, and why not? Like, because it's, anyway, you're going to get me into a rant. I'm going to call Amazon. Yeah, 3 stars. Anyway, oh well. So I was there, and then they pulled it back. What can you do?
You can get a new Google TV device.
Well, no, they don't make it. Well, I guess they make those little boxes. I can get that. But well, I got the one with the Blu-ray player.
This is a sign to come of new Google TVs that I actually can use this app. I wonder who's using this. Like, where's the review? I got to find a review that says, I'm using this on what?
There's somebody's, the one to the right.
I bought the Asus Cube, but then it didn't work on it. Okay, hang on. Let's see.
This has as many one-star reviews as it has 5-star reviews. Yeah. So that's 13 one-star and 14. Yeah, this is.
Wade in the chat room says the Vizio CoStar works on that.
Oh, of course. Yeah, that's the one everyone thinks of when they think Google TV. Yeah, won't let this guy in his review won't let him register as Vizio CoStar. So maybe it does theoretically work. I love this theoretical app. This is like the you know, that singing frog from Warner Brothers. That's what this is.
Michigan P. Frog.
Michigan J. Frog.
Is it J or P?
We'll find out the chat room. But yeah, that guy, Michigan Frog here, the Amazon Instant Video Frog.
So, all right. Well, I can't think of a better time to go into the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
So this is Ayaz's first time in the arena, isn't it?
I'm panicking. Where's my helmet?
There's no helmets. There's no protection in the arena. It's every man for himself.
I'm going to
die. Or woman. So as evidenced by last week, when in episode 120, where the three of us, Jason, Gina, and I had a little app face off and not surprisingly face switch, freaky face switch from Gina won with 54% of the vote, 197 votes. Jason's McPixel, got 29% of the vote. And my sad Sparky lock screen got 17% of the vote. And I will tell everyone. Gina, I will tell you, I had nightmares that night for face switch.
It was all Jason's demo.
Did you see that image,
the fact that he came up with that image on it. Yeah.
Why would you do that again, Chad? Why?
I wasn't there for last week.
This is the first time I've seen it.
On Google Plus. I saw that image, and yes, it is a bit on the Conan O'Brien side, actually.
Okay, you can say the weird.
If they made it kind of thing.
I will say that, Gina, that was a well-deserved win. We got a lot of laughs out of that one.
Thank you.
So, Ayaz, are you familiar with how it works, the arena?
I got my helmet.
You've come prepared.
I've got a helmet. So that'll help. So if you're listening to the audio only, you definitely should see the video because I'm wearing a helmet.
All right. Well, since you're the guest, why don't you lead us off? Why don't you tell us about your app?
This heavy. I don't know if people use this thing. All right. So I'm going to talk about Splashtop. Now, I've been using Splashtop for some time now. And right now what it lets you do is it gives you access to your home PC over the internet if you pay a subscription fee, $17 per year. But if you don't want to do that, you can access all of your computers in your home network for free. So it's a great way to test out things. It's better than VNC because even audio works through it. So if I wanted to, and this is a bit crazy, I don't know if this is going to work live, but if I wanted to go to my home computer, which is like a mile from here, you can see my desktop right down here on this, let's see this extra camera here. Do we got that, Chad?
One second, working on it.
Making this biased.
There you go, got it.
All right, so here's my desktop at home. And if I wanted to run something like Hulu, even the audio will play through here. So,
no, it won't.
Yeah, it will.
No, it won't.
Okay, well, let me try to do it live because I haven't tried this live.
I'm just being a skeptic.
No, let's try it. I know it works. All right.
Can it go landscape?
Yeah. It can, but I keep my 7 in, what do you call it, in portrait.
Why?
Because I don't like it in landscape.
All right. The arena is not a safe place.
One second. Because I'm manipulating a tiny cursor on this screen because it's really interesting.
You know how you can make it bigger?
Make what?
Like go in landscape.
You could go in landscape.
The cursor doesn't get that much bigger, folks, is what I'm saying.
But does it fill the screen?
Will. All right, guys, if you want me to do that. All right. The thing is I need to get out of the app because the notification tray won't work here. Oh, I have flash block on. One second. Hey, I got the helmet on. Give me a break.
So if you tap, it'll move the mouse over to where you tapped?
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Nice.
Come on, Flash.
A tap isn't like a mouse click.
It's supposed to be. There we go. So trackpad mode, tack anywhere on the screen. So, yeah, this is my pick, by the way, as you can see. I don't use it very much for flash content, as you can see. Let me get to... I can zoom in.
Oh, that's cool.
Okay, there we go.
If I can get this tiny freaking flash thing.
Can I tell you, this is the kind of application that, much like the Find My Phone, like Lookout and stuff like that, I wish I installed, because I can't tell you how many times where I'm on the road, I'm like, oh, that's on my desktop computer, and I don't have something like this set up. So,
for the love of God, would you just let me hit disable? There we go.
Ron, you're such a mensch. I like how you're...
You're trying.
I'm trying to help. Fill the time.
All right, so I am doing this, and this will be... We'll try this one more time. Now the flash video is going to play because I had a disabled flash block because...
Whoa!
And now you, do you actually hear the audio there? Whoa. Let's see if you hear that.
Whoa.
Hear the audio coming through the ABC?
Oh, wait.
We can do the audio thing, don't we? The Bachelor has brought to you by something. I just picked the first one, by the way, and
Are we watching The Bachelorette? This is so exciting. Don't tell me who wins.
So there... There it's actually running Hulu.
Here we go.
We've got an audio thing. We've got a thank you, Liz. Scuba,
please. Thank you, Liz.
All right, so we've got this. And the other thing, like I was trying to explain to you guys, why I couldn't switch it right now, because the notification tray doesn't work when I'm in this mode. So I didn't want to pop out of the app and reconnect to my computer there. Is the audio coming through?
No, I'm not getting it.
Ah.
Oh, yeah, turn it up. There you go. It was your device was turned down.
So there we go. We're watching The Bachelorette for some reason. This is Hulu, and I'm not using Hulu Plus. It's actually in a browser, so it's running just fine. And in case you're not running Flash content, it runs just fine, especially if you have practice. As you can see, I have not practiced today.
I like that. So why wouldn't you use the Hulu app?
What's that? I don't have to pay for this.
Oh, true. That's a good point.
I pay a subscription fee to actually access my home laptops and things.
Oh, all right. There you go.
I don't need to pay for any, like, oh, I need the Hulu Plus, or I need whatever else... Other experience. If my desktop can play it, this thing can play it.
And so even, can it also play local files?
Like, yes, if it's an MKV.
Oh.
It should be able to play.
It just should.
It's more about my...
Why don't we try?
You want to try it live? No, you want to fill time? You keep going. I'm gonna get Iron Man up here or something. I'll show you. I'll show everybody.
I ask, can you download files? Or I guess you can email yourself a file. Like if you had a file on your...
I believe you can email yourself a file. I don't know. I don't think you can do file transfers to your... tablet that way. And there's also streamers to... No, don't do that. There's also streamers to your laptop, too. So if you were like, oh, this is fine for these small things, you can also use it for your computer.
That's cool, though. The added streaming aspect, that is right, something run, I haven't seen.
Let's run Captain America, the MKV. Let's see how this chokes on this. Because this is crazy. This is a giant 25 gigabyte file, so we'll see if it runs or not.
Did the press play?
It's still loading. Opening media. Oh, that's because that hard drive is spinning up, because I know it's a second hard drive. So here we go. Captain America, the First Avenger. My MKV rip is going to play right now, right here.
It's playing. Really,
it's playing relatively smoothly. So yeah. I'm not like cheating to make this work. You saw the difficulties I have. You can see it's a little choppy, right? But then again, I'm getting this over the internet, and it's working this way. The fact I'm only a mile away doesn't really make a huge difference because it's going through all those different bounces and stuff. But there you go. There's Captain America, the First Avenger going.
That's fascinating.
And how much is this? The app itself is free. If you want to access your home computer over the internet, it'll cost you $17 a year.
Okay.
And if you just want to access your home computers over your home network, so let's say I want to do this from the kitchen, that's free.
Okay. So you can watch Captain America in the kitchen?
That's right. Who doesn't watch Captain America in the kitchen? You act like it's a weird thing.
I know.
Fine. I'll go get the old Michael Jai White Spawn, which was an image property.
It still is, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
And that's my pick.
All right.
For the arena. Sorry
nice.
For the...
So Splash Top. Is it Splash Top 2? Is that what it is?
Splash Top 2, yes.
Splash Top 2. Remote desktop. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Ayaz. You survived.
I survived.
We blew the helmet right off my head.
Just came off my head. I don't know what happened. I'm going to have freaking flashbacks to this.
The live demo is tough.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right. Well... My app this week is one that, as many of you know from my various times when I'm not on the show, I tend to travel a lot, and I tend to go to other cities, and I often find myself fumbling through individual apps or websites or Google Maps to try to get transit information. Whether you're in New York City with the subways and the Long Island Railroad, or you're in San Francisco with the Muni and the BART, or whatever city you might be in, every city has its own transit system. And when you travel a lot, so a lot of times you don't know when the next train is coming, how do you figure it out, that sort of thing. I found this beautiful app called Transit, very simply called Transit or Transit app. And it does a great job at visually showing you what all the routes that are nearby you are and when they're coming. Right now, I've got this synced up to San Francisco. So if you're familiar with San Francisco, the Muni system is all letters. Mm-hmm. And what it's done is it's taken each line and it matches a lot of, you know, kind of transit lines have colors associated to them. So, for example, in San Francisco, the F line is yellow, the T line is red, the N is blue. And that all is represented here. So when you're in the station, you're like, oh, the blue line. Okay, cool. It's coming in 5 minutes. What's really neat about it is that you can favorite a specific line. So if you live in a city and you often use the same line like I do, like I use the BART to get to and from Berkeley and I use the same train, so I can favorite it. So when you pull up the app, you can see the individual line that you want. But what really makes transit great, actually there are two things that make transit great. Well, three things that make transit great. The first thing is it's free. The second thing is the design. The design is really nice. It's really elegant. It's really done. Third is the scope of information that they have. So if you go and look on the Google Play Store, they list all the cities that they have. And I'm just going to rattle off some of them. But it works with New York City, Paris, Mexico City, Toronto, Montreal, Chicago, Philadelphia, San Francisco, LA. Who knew LA even had a subway? Boston, Vancouver, Ottawa, Seattle, San Diego, Minneapolis, Honolulu, all the way down to Winnipeg, Quebec, Halifax, Kamloops. So I didn't even know Kamloops had a transit system. I guess they all have buses. So there you go. So pretty much it's got the majority of the United States and Canada covered. And it looks like they've added some international destinations like Paris and Mexico City. I would like to see London added on here. That would make this like a fantastic one for me. But yeah, so in terms of, you know, now I finally have one application where I can easily navigate the transit system. And actually, Chad, if you pull up on the Google Play Store and some of the screenshots, you can see you can plot your own, you can plot different destinations. You can say, I got to go from here to there. And it very clearly shows you how to get from point A to point B via what line using Google Maps integration. It tells you when to leave, which is really nice. Also gives you some nice directions, really mirroring a lot of the functionality that Google Maps does. But for some reason, I always have a hard time with Google Maps and their transit information. But yeah, it's really detailed, awesome design, awesome interface, and it's totally free. So Transit app, you can get that in the Google Play Store, and there you go.
Does it integrate at all with calendar? Like, can you actually see your calendar on top of the plan?
Interesting. Why would you want to see your calendar?
Well, it's like if I left at 5:30, like, no, you're supposed to be there by 5:30 or something.
Oh, yeah.
Like that.
No, it doesn't do it. At least not that I've seen. Okay. How like Google Now does that when you've got something in your calendar app, says you need to leave now. It doesn't do that. But I wouldn't be surprised if they're going to add it, considering they can do that in Google Now. So
seemed nice.
Yeah. So very cool. So Transit app. Check it out.
Gina, right on. Looks good. All right, so my app pick this week is called Chrome, and that's K-R-O-M-E, not to be confused with Chrome, the browser, the C-H. So Chrome with a K, this is a really, really interesting app, although it's kind of squirrely, and I would say that right now the state it's in, it's for adventurous users, but it does something really, really cool. It syncs Android's notifications with your Chrome browser. So if you're sitting at your desk and you've got Chrome with a K installed on your phone, you've got it all set up, and you get an SMS message, you get a Google Now card notification, you get any kind of notification on your phone that would show up in your phone's notification shade, Chrome with a K will trigger that same notification on the desktop in Chrome with a CH on your desktop. So more recent builds of the Chrome web browser support rich notifications. Those are those big notification boxes with the image and the notification text. And so those are what your phone notifications look like on your desktop. Really, really, really nice. So basically it just means you don't have to glance at your phone if you get an SMS or if you get any other sort of phone notification. You get those on your desktop when you're just using Chrome, the web browser. So that said, the reason why I said this is kind of a squirrely app that adventurous users only should try is that you install Chrome with a K on your phone and you have to enable accessibility. You have to enable give it access to your notifications. There's a little bit of setup there. And then you have to install Chrome, the web browser, an extension which talks to Chrome with a K, and you can have to set an encryption key, and you kind of have to get your phone and Chrome, the browser, talking to one another. I use a Mac, and the current stable build of Chrome, the web browser, doesn't implement those rich notifications yet. So I had to install Chrome, the Canary build, which is the more recent dev build, so in order to get those rich notifications. But it it's really kind of cool to get all your notifications up on the desktop, especially if you're like me and you spend your day kind of looking at the big screen and you don't have to glance down at your phone to get your notifications. And, you know, the nature of Chrome, the web browser, is that once you get it set up in one version on all your devices, because if you're syncing all your extensions, it kind of works everywhere. But it's, you know, this build is, it's a little, I've seen a little bit of weirdness with it. If you're using a version of Chrome that doesn't support those rich notifications, sometimes you'll get the same notification over and over. There's some misspellings in the app. You can tell it's not a natively English speaking developer, so keep an eye out for that. And it is 99 cents, but for someone like me who's really interested in and checking out the ways in which Chrome and Android are talking to one another and integrating, you know, Chrome and Android are really Google's two huge open source platforms. And more and more, we're starting to see them kind of converge and talk to one another. And this, you know, we got the Chromecast and we got Chrome running on Android. This is a kind of really neat bridge between the two. And if you're a notification hound, kind of like I am, I want all my notifications to be everywhere, and I also want them synced. If I see them in one place, I don't want to see them in another. This is a kind of really cool app to try out. But again, be willing to be adventurous, be willing to get, you know, spend a little time getting it set up. Once you do, it's kind of magic to see your phone notification show up in your desktop. Also, if you get an SMS notification, you can click on the notification in Chrome and respond over the web as well via the Chrome with a K service. So that's pretty cool. I use Google Voice, so I haven't had a chance to test that functionality out. But check it out. It's Chrome with a K, and it is 99 cents in the Play Store.
That's one of those apps that are like, oh, this is the future.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And it's we're not in the future quite yet, so it's a little, but try it out. It totally works. You don't have to be rooted or anything like that. The design is modern, but like I said, you do have to install that extension and get it all hooked up. I imagine that this is something that Google is clearly going to implement down the road, right? Yeah. This seems pretty obvious, but so to get a little taste of the future, if you're willing to roll up your sleeves, put in a little elbow grease, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, that connection between the phone and Chrome, I mean, like when Chrome to phone came out a couple of years ago, I mean, that blew my mind. The fact that you could send a link from your desktop to the phone, and that was mm-hmm. great. And this is just a natural extension of that. So I'm going to try installing this when I get home. So that's a good pick. So
thanks.
If you want to go vote for Gina, you can go to aapoll.com/121, as I imagine many of you will, at aapoll.com/121. And there you can vote for Iaz's app, Splash Top, which is currently leading with 8 votes, my app, Transit App, which has got 4 votes, and Chrome, which Gina presented, which eventually will win, which currently has 3 votes.
Yes, Gina won. I'm voting for Gina now. So
I'm voting for Gina. So
wow.
There you go.
So wow. You're just giving it to me. You handed it to me here, yeah. Ron. You're giving it to me.
So the votes are pouring in. We'll see how the folks in India feel about Transit App, considering that it wasn't in India's transit wasn't in the app. But still, what can you do? All right, so we survived this journey together. Thank you, Iaz, for joining us.
Well, thanks, guys, for having me. I'm glad to be here.
We appreciate it. Hopefully it was more fun than Tech News tonight.
It was lots of fun, and I got to put a hat on Gina right now. She's got her helmet for
There we go. There's the helmet. Yeah.
There's the helmet. We moved the helmet
on. Gina, we protected
on.
You during during the arena.
It's a little bit above you, but this is lots of fun.
So where can, if people, for some reason, if they want to hear more from you, where could they go?
Well, they probably could just go like up higher in the browser, go to shows. Because I'm at twit.tv. You can check me out on Tech News Today every day at 10 a.m. live at live.twit.tv. Join us in the chat room. If you guys, if you like actually interacting with folks, the chat room is fantastic for that. I love doing the news every day, and we get to do that. Or if you want to do projects, we do something called Know How every Thursday. It's out on Thursdays anyway. And it shows you a fun tech project. And the fact is, if I can do it, you can do it. And I guarantee you I will run into the same problems you will, because something invariably breaks. And live demos, I could have cheated, by the way, with this. I actually have Splash Top on my laptop here. I could have just fiddled around with
it. Oh, you could have.
I could have cheated. Yeah. And I've learned to cheat very well with know-how. But I did not do that on All About Android. And thank you guys for having me.
You respected the sanctity of the arena.
Yeah, the arena is great. Yeah. There are rules in the arena.
Yeah. No, but it's been great. I've been on Tech News Today. It's a blast.
You were? And
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
no, you had sideburns then.
I had sideburns, yeah.
Now it's somebody else.
I was hoping I could get away this week with nobody commenting on the lack of sideburns.
With no comments.
You know, there you go. I ruined it.
Like, there's something different about Ron. There's There's something different about Ron, and now I could see it.
Finally, for the first time in 15 years, we had a scenario where I was trimming the sideburns and I slipped.
I had that happen to me once too. I had no beard for like a week.
And I'm sitting there and I'm dying, and I'm like, oh, but luckily they'll be back next week, so they'll grow within this week.
Next week, something to look forward to.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. So, Gina, where can people find you?
I also co-host This Week in Google here on the Twit Network, and that airs on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific. And I work on an open source app, it's social analytics for smart people. It's thinkup.com. You should go and pop your email address in there now. Get on our waiting list because we're gonna launch soon. I'm really excited about that. I've been working hard on that. And and I've got an Android app. It's called ToDoText. Go to todotxt.com. Check it out.
Cool. And as always, All About Android is on the air thanks to the efforts of Chad. Chad, where can people find you?
People can find me. I also do stuff for Twit. I do my own Minecraft show.
You also switched the camera to you, right?
Yeah, I don't know how to. I don't know how this whole thing works. I just had to pull one into the input. I do a Minecraft show called OMG Craft. And I also do a YouTube show called This Week in YouTube, so you can watch that as well.
Awesome. And I wish I'd worn this helmet at the start of the show because I needed the protection. If you like...
beat you to death with a Nexus 7. There you go.
Some reason you want to find more about me, you can go to about.me/RonXO and you can find all my links to Twitter, Facebook, Google+, all that fun stuff. And check out Image Comics at imagecomics.com where you can download DRM-free digital comics every day. New comics come out every Wednesday and be sure to check it out. We got a lot of good stuff coming out this week from Image. So that's it for this week. Jason will be back next week, I hope, so I can take off the helmet. And if you want to participate in the wonderful community from All About Android, you can call us on our voicemail line at 347-SHOW-AAA. Or you can send an email or a video mail. We love getting those to aaa@twit.tv. And you can find us on Twitter at Android Show. And as always, you can find the show notes at twit.tv/AAA and past episodes on the twit.tv website, as well as iTunes and YouTube. And you can watch us live every Tuesday starting around 5 p.m. Pacific at live.twit.tv. That's it for episode 121. We'll see you next week.
Why did you do that?
See, that's the most disturbing. Right.